directly into her nose. He holds a blossom up to the headlight beam.
This looks like your pin.
Amelia looks. 5 petals, exactly the same size as the head girl pin. The secret was in plain sight all along. Her parents have waited up for her. They are watching Independence Day, her father's favorite movie, each with their own bowl of popcorn, because Dad likes butter and Mom doesn't.
How'd your fireworks show go off?
Dad asks. With a bang, Amelia teases and kisses them both on the cheek. She doesn't want to lie, but she doesn't want to get into it either. Though as she kisses each of them on the cheek, she feels lucky. Lucky that she has always had their support, their trust, and their love. In her bedroom, Amelia plugs her phone into the charger and waits until it comes back to life. It is now close to 1 in the morning. As soon as it has enough juice, she texts Kate. I'm so sorry. Kate doesn't write back immediately. Amelia puts her phone down on the bed, watching the screen as she changes into her pajamas.
Did you find the recipes at least?
Yes. There's another stretch of lag time. Amelia takes the phone into the bathroom with her to brush her teeth when Kate finally responds.
What's the secret of Home Sweet Home?
For a second, Amelia hesitates, her mouth full of minty foam. Should she tell? But to not share this with her, Kate, of all people, feels like a betrayal. She spits, bites down on her toothbrush, and uses both hands to text. Honeysuckle. Molly picked them in her fields and steeped the flowers in the ice cream base overnight. Kate doesn't text back, and Amelia doesn't expect her to. But she hopes that as things at Mead Creamery finally get back to normal, she and Kate will get back to normal too. July 5th, 1945. The Red Cross benefit is in 2 weeks. I'm so grateful for all the help I'm getting from the girls. They are a talented bunch. Painting the banner for my table, sewing us all matching aprons. Martha even decorated a tin box to keep the money in. They've taken care of everything. All I need to do is make the ice cream. It will sound terrible to write this, but I've always thought of myself as unremarkable, even though I've been told all my life how beautiful I am. But now, I wish I knew how to put it into words. When I'm making ice cream, I feel as if I have found my whole self. Chapter 29. Amelia wakes up to a text from Grady.
No cereal this morning. Smiley face.
And when she arrives at the farmhouse, he is already holding the screen door open for her, Moo cradled in his arms. He has made them both a full breakfast of scrambled eggs and toast, crispy bacon, sliced banana. He's even dressed up, a Madras plaid shirt and a polka dot tie.
You are good at eggs, she admits, taking a bite.
Told you, he boasts.
They eat quickly, excited to get working, and descend the basement stairs.
I called Marburger Dairy and asked them to resume the deliveries Molly used to get. They should come by later this afternoon.
What if I don't get it right? Amelia asks, tying an apron around her.
I have complete faith in you.
She quickly ducks her head in the refrigerator to hide her blushing cheeks. Inside is a large plastic container of the Home Sweet Home base that she prepared last night. The honeysuckle flowers have floated to the top. Grady, can you help me? I don't want to spill any. Even though he just got comfortable on the couch, he jumps right up. I'll hold the strainer, she tells him, unhooking a huge silver conical sieve from the side of the work table and grabbing an empty plastic tub. Take this tub and pour the base through the strainer into this. He does exactly what Amelia says. The cream is tinged a soft yellow.
The strainer holds all the bruised flowers of honeysuckle, coated with the cooked cream. She selects a blossom and pops it into her mouth, sucking it clean. It tastes deliciously, delicately sweet. Amelia walks over to the ice cream maker, clicks it on, and sets the time and the temperature to what Molly Mead indicated in her recipe, which Amelia has hung on the refrigerator door. She also took a photo of it with her phone as a backup, just in case. She flips up the silver hatch at the top of the machine and pours the base in. 8 minutes, she says.
Okay.
Grady flops back down on the couch and taps his foot. Amelia is so nervous she can hardly handle it. She stands next to the machine and listens to it churn and spin.
I could put on a record, Grady offers.
Yeah, sure. He picks one out. The Mills Brothers, four African-American men in white suit jackets and bow ties.
These dudes look cool.
I'm pretty sure I've seen you in that same outfit.
Hardy har.
He puts the needle down and a jazzy harmony kicks in. Grady sits on the couch and taps his foot along with the beat.
I can't believe you figured out how to use that thing, he says, pointing at the huge silver vat of the pasteurizer.
It wasn't hard, Amelia says. It's actually just like a pot on the stove, except you have more control over the temperature, and you can obviously put more in it. He appears to be glancing at the album cover, but Amelia has the sense that he's watching her. She grabs one of the cardboard ice cream drums and opens the ice cream maker's latch to check on the consistency of the ice cream. Immediately, Grady is behind her, peering over her shoulder, wanting to see every step. When the consistency seems right, Amelia opens the latch full throttle, and the ice cream comes pouring out of the spout. She works quickly, turning the cardboard tub every few seconds so the ice cream pours in evenly, tapping it against the table to make sure there are no air bubbles inside. Molly's measurements are perfectly precise. There's barely any overrun. Grady is grinning.
You make it look easy.
She's barely listening, up on her toes, peering into the drum. Her heart is beating faster than it ever has for any boy. The color's good, and it has the right smell. Grady rubs his hands together.
Can we try it?
Amelia reaches for a spoon, slides it into the drum, and hands it to Grady. Here, I'm too nervous. He takes the spoon, but immediately turns it around to feed her.
Close your eyes, Amelia, so you can concentrate.
She closes her eyes and thinks about that night down at the lake when she and Kate and all the girls said goodbye to Molly Mead. She feels the spoon under her nose, smells the sweetness of the cream, feels the chill radiating off it. She opens her mouth. Her eyes pop open. It's perfect. She reaches for another spoon. Here, you try. Grady has a similar reaction, though his joy is considerably muted. Maybe he will never be able to disassociate the experience of losing his mom from the taste of Molly Mead's ice cream. He swallows and lifts his eyes to hers, and he is beaming.
You did it!
He wraps his arms around her waist and lifts her up in the air.
Okay, okay.
Laughing, he gently lowers her. But when her feet hit the ground, Grady doesn't let her go. Instead, he pulls her even closer to him. There is a warmth in his eyes. His chest fills with every inhale, collapses with every exhale. Her cheeks burn. Grady, she begins, but she has no idea what to say next. Not that it matters. They are kissing. Even though Grady is off limits, and technically her boss, and she told Kate there was nothing between them. The idea that she is falling for a Mead is ridiculous. All these thoughts are in her head somewhere, but really what she wants to concentrate on are his lips on hers, how he can't seem to get close enough to her, how his curls feel softer than she ever imagined. Amelia and Grady are fizzing like two shook-up soda bottles, a summer's worth of tension uncapped. Together, they shuffle toward Molly's couch, not allowing any space to bloom between them, and lower themselves onto it. Grady rolls so he's on top of her, fitting between her legs. His hands rub her from ankle to knee, and she prickles in goosebumps. He leans forward to her ear, nudging her head gently to the side with his nose, kissing that tiny space between her earlobe and her neck. Amelia opens her eyes and sees the goldenrod yellow of the couch. Kate, what is Kate going to say? Amelia already knows. Kate warned them all on opening day why the girls should be careful around him, why there should be boundaries. But Kate hasn't spent time with Grady the way Amelia has. She has come to know him in a way the other girls don't. Does it matter? Or has she chosen Grady over the girls in a way that is now inexcusable? Amelia pulls away. This isn't a good idea.
Really? Should I stop?
She doesn't want him to. I'm working. I'm officially working right now. And you're my boss.
Amelia, I hope you don't think I'm trying to work some kind of power dynamic thing over you. Because that's not what this is at all.
He shakes his head, resolute.
I've always been so intimidated by you. At first, because I thought you were pretty. But then you turned out to be smart, too.
That doesn't change how it'll look to people.
By people, you mean the girls?
Yes, I do. She sits up. I care about what they think. He takes her hand in his.
So, what do you want to do?
She thinks. No one can know about this. Whatever this is.
Okay.
And I don't think we should kiss during work hours. At least not when I'm on the clock. He makes a pouty face that Amelia finds unfairly cute. I'm serious, Grady. I take my job very seriously.
I know you do.
And as soon as I get our stock levels back up, I'm working at the stand again with the other girls.
Absolutely understood.
Okay.
Aren't you supposed to take at least one 15-minute break per shift? That's labor law.
She grins. I can work with that. He wags his eyebrows.
So, break time?
Break's over. I want to bring the ice cream down and let Kate taste it. And the other girls, too. Grady threads a stray lock of her hair behind her ear.
Can I come with you? I want to see them freak out when they taste how great this is.
They both roll off the couch, grinning and goofy and suddenly shy with each other. Amelia smooths her hair, making sure her shirt is tucked in tight. Grady does the same, picks up her drum of ice cream and holds her hand until they reach the front door. There's a pause where a kiss might go, but they smile at each other instead, owning this secret. Chapter 30. It's 10:45, and a line is forming. Kate has not arrived yet, but the other girls who are on shift, Jen and Monsey, sit by the stand door, waiting. Oh, hi, Amelia says. She passes the drum to Grady and takes out her key. I didn't realize you were waiting. I can let you both in. They barely manage a smile for her. Kate being upset with her is bad enough, but all the stand girls disappointed in her? It makes Amelia's heart hurt. A voice behind her says snarkily, Already at it, huh? Amelia turns and sees Kate walk in and hang her purse on one of the hooks. I'm not late, she announces defensively. It's not 11 yet. No one said you were, Amelia says. Grady can clearly sense the tension. After clearing his throat, he calls out,
Hey, girls, I want everyone in the office for a second. Amelia's got some great news to share.
He nudges Amelia as if to remind her of the happiness she felt moments ago. Kate and the other girls flop onto the love seat. Amelia races off to the main room of the stand and returns with plastic spoons.
I found Molly Mead's recipes last night. That was the reason I missed the party, Amelia tells Monsi and Jen. And this morning, I made my very first batch of Home Sweet Home. I think it came out pretty okay.
Okay, Grady pops up. Don't be modest. You girls won't be able to tell the difference.
If she's using Molly Mead's exact recipes, why would we? Says Kate.
Because there are a lot of variables, Grady says. Making ice cream isn't an easy thing to do. Trust me, I know.
Amelia makes eye contact with Kate, tries to draw Kate's focus away from Grady.
I'm excited for you to try it.
She hands Kate a spoonful, and Jen and Monsi too. They all taste at the same time. Jen and Monsi don't react. They both look at Kate as if they need her permission.
Are we done here? Kate asks.
Amelia knows Kate's trying to be hurtful because Kate's hurt. She tries to shake it off.
I should be able to get a couple more batches done today, and after this sits in the freezer for 15 minutes, it'll be ready to scoop. We can take the sold-out sign down.
So now you'll be at the farmhouse making ice cream for the rest of the summer, Kate says icily.
For now, yes, Grady interjects. But once we're caught up, Amelia will be back down here with everyone.
It shouldn't take me long, Amelia says.
Kate checks her phone for the time. It's after 11. I need to open.
Amelia nods. Right. Sorry.
Jen and Monsi scurry out past Grady. He closes the office door.
Hey, Kate. Hang back for a minute, okay? I'd like to talk to you about something.
Kate makes a big show of sitting back down.
Amelia tries pulling Grady aside. She doesn't want him inserting himself into their friendship drama. She knows he's trying to help, but it'll only make things worse.
He gives her a quick thumbs up, which frankly only makes her more anxious. Stepping around the desk, he says,
First off, I'd like to personally apologize to you for last night.
Kate glances over her manicure, seeming bored. You don't owe me an apology, never mind a personal one.
Well, it's my fault that Amelia missed out on her plans with you and the other girls. She didn't want to go with me to the beach. She wanted to be with you. The last thing Amelia would want to do is let you down.
Grady, if you want to talk with me about the business, cool. Otherwise, I'm not interested in discussing my personal life, my relationships with you.
Amelia feels a tightness in her chest, seeing Kate model the way Amelia could have dealt with Grady from the get-go.
But this has to do with business, Grady insists. Kate, you brought up a good point earlier. For the time being, Amelia will have to concentrate on production. I don't want things falling through the cracks here because she's focused on making ice cream. I said as much to her on our ride back to Sand Lake, and she suggested that I promote you to head girl.
Kate's mouth opens, then closes.
Wait, are you serious?
She turns toward Amelia.
Really?
Amelia, as surprised as Kate is, smiles back because she's happy to see Kate happy. Happy like someone switched a light on inside her. Grady goes on.
Amelia's constantly telling me what a great job you're doing down here, how protective you are with the younger girls, and how much you've been picking up the slack. I know the circumstances have been challenging, but I'm hoping we can move forward from here and have a great rest of the summer.
Amelia keeps a smile on her face, remembering the ways Kate cuts corners sometimes. But Grady's probably right. It has been a challenging summer. Kate hasn't had the incentive to step up her role. Maybe that will change now. And I'll get the head girl pay raise, too, right? Kate asks. Grady nods.
I'm shifting all of the head girl responsibilities onto you. Making the schedule, supply orders, stock.
I know, she says to Grady, almost like she's annoyed, like he's ruining this. And then she turns her attention fully to Amelia. Kate's eyes are sparkling. She's happier than Amelia would ever have expected her to be, because Kate always played like being head girl was no big deal.
Amelia, are you sure?
Absolutely. I always said you'd make a great head girl.
These words are 100% true.
And yet it does hurt Amelia to say them. Maybe because she knows that this time, Kate's not going to argue with her. And she doesn't. She wraps Amelia in a spine-cracking hug.
Okay, I'm going to let you girls hash this all out. He nods. Glad this worked out so well.
Kate watches him go.
Ugh, I thought he'd never leave.
Amelia laughs nervously as Kate pulls her onto the love seat.
Gah, this is so crazy.
Kate drums her feet on the floor. Amelia nods.
Totally crazy.
She squeezes Kate's hands and then lets them go.
Come on, let's do something to celebrate. At least a Starbucks run.
And then with a laugh,
that's an order.
I should really get started on another batch.
Wah, you're no fun.
Amelia scoots forward, her behind perched on the edge of the couch cushion.
The thing is, I want to do it. I like making the ice cream. I'm good at it.
It feels freeing to admit at least this much to Kate.
Well, then I'm glad you found what you were looking for.
And Kate holds out her arms for another hug.
Though Kate is still probably a little annoyed with her, and would definitely not hug her if she knew Amelia had just kissed Grady. Amelia wraps her arms around Kate anyway and squeezes her as tightly as she can. It's a miracle, really, that they were able to get to this place after how contentious things were between them just a few minutes ago. It is, Amelia thinks, a testament to their friendship. Amelia stands up.
Kate, I'm sorry again about yesterday. I really didn't want to miss it.
Don't worry, there will be other chances. Plenty of other chances.
Amelia is halfway out the door when Kate clears her throat.
Hey, before you go, Kate says, and Amelia turns back. I want to ask you something, but I don't want it to be weird.
Amelia swallows, thinking of Grady. Could Kate sense something?
Of course.
Can I have the head girl pin? I mean, you're in this new position now, and it's like the girls are down here at the stand with me. I think it will be good for morale if they know something's really changed.
Amelia feels a pang. Her ice cream victory has been all but eclipsed by Kate's promotion. But maybe Amelia deserves that for being too much of a coward to tell Kate about kissing Grady. It's pretty clear by the way this summer has gone that she wasn't head girl material after all.
You don't have to do it now, Kate says quickly, sensing that this might be a delicate subject.
But Amelia removes the pin from her collar and hands it over. Kate takes it to the mirror, puts it on, and beams, brushing her hair off her shoulder on that side to get a better look. Chapter 31. Amelia makes ice cream for the rest of the day, mixing up new bases, pasteurizing them, letting them steep, putting them in the blast chiller, running them through the Emery Thompson. But unlike when she was blindly trying to replicate Molly's secret recipes, she feels much more confident, much less stressed. It's blissful. Grady brings her lunch, a chicken salad sandwich, a Coke, and a bag of chips from the local deli. And he apologizes to Amelia for springing that head girl stuff on her today.
I just knew you were upset because Kate was upset, and I wanted to help you because you've done so much to help me.
It was a good idea, Amelia says. I do want to concentrate on this.
Okay, good. If you want some company, I could bring my schoolwork down here.
Sure, that would be nice. She does enjoy Grady's company, of course. Though they don't kiss, per Amelia's decree, they find plenty of times to touch each other. His hand on her knee, her knocking into him, Grady hooking his chin on her shoulder. Amelia likes him, more than she wants to admit to herself. But the work, she loves the work. When Grady heads upstairs to take an online exam, Amelia returns to Molly's diary. She doesn't need to find the recipes anymore, and maybe she should feel guilty for continuing to read it. But she doesn't. She feels only kinship. July 15th, 1945. I sold clear out of ice cream at the Red Cross benefit. The dishes went faster than the girls and I could churn. There was always a line, people waiting for more. And once I ran out, people in town asked if I'd have more for sale at our dairy stand. I just about sprinted home to Daddy and found him on the porch with his pipe. He's been so down lately. He's struggling with all the work, and the dairy is barely breaking even. He tries to hide it from Mother, but I can see it on him. When I told him about the benefit, he was so proud of me. And he laughed harder than he has maybe all summer when I told him how I raised the prices by another 50 cents for the last 10 dishes. He said the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Let me help you, I said. And I told him my plan, that I could sell ice cream at our farm stand. I could bring in money, money we need, using the milk and cream we aren't selling.
Could you really churn that much in that little bucket of yours? He asked me.
No, but I can get a machine for $800, I told him. It'll churn faster than I ever could. I could make way more and have more control over it, too. I saw an ad for them in one of Daddy's dairy catalogs and spent more than an hour on the phone with one of the Emery Thompson salesmen, asking him all sorts of questions. Right away, Daddy said we don't have that kind of money. I told him we do, because that's the budget for my wedding. I overheard Mother say so to Mrs. Duluth 2 weeks ago. Mother must have been eavesdropping because she pushed outside in her nightgown and said absolutely not, and she forbade me to use my wedding money for anything other than marrying Wayne. Daddy explained that this was the first he was hearing about it, and he hadn't made a decision yet one way or the other. I let them go back and forth for a while before I finally put my foot down and said if they didn't let me do this, I would refuse to marry Wayne. I'd become an old spinster and never give them any beautiful grandchildren. Tiggy's idea of a last-ditch threat. And that was the end of that. Now I'm in bed, too excited to sleep. It seems almost sinful to be this lucky. So on Sunday, I'm going to put a little something extra in the collection plate and pray a few more rosaries than I normally do. That way, God will know how very grateful I am. Near the end of the evening, a little before 11, Amelia has 4 gallons of strawberry, chocolate, and vanilla completed, as well as several bases of Home Sweet Home steeping. They'll be ready to put through the machine tomorrow morning. She goes upstairs to see if Grady can give her a ride down to the stand with the new stock. It's been quiet, and she wonders if she's going to catch him asleep on the couch. She actually hopes she will, just to scare him, because it will be funny. But Grady isn't asleep. He's on the floor, with his back up against the couch, his mother's letters spread out in front of him. Amelia tiptoes backward, but he looks up.
Hey.
Sorry, I didn't mean to disturb you.
No, you're not.
He beckons her closer. She sits next to him, leans against him.
He has opened every one. I was so little when she died, he tells her. I don't have that many memories of her beyond that summer I spent with her here. It's been nice learning about her, in her own voice.
Tell me. He does, pointing out some small thing in each and every letter. His mother's terrific penmanship, how she was funny, quick to make a joke, smart. There's never a clunky sentence or a half-formed thought. Also, she loved her son. Every letter had some proud mention of him, how alert he was as a baby, how early he started to walk, how much he enjoyed being read to at night.
And I was going to throw these away, he says, almost in disbelief.
Grady's mother also dropped plenty of delicate hints of tension in her marriage to Grady's father, mentioning how hard he worked, how his desire for success often left her and Grady in the shadows. She made excuses as to why plans to visit Molly evaporated for one reason or another, a new acquisition, a meeting that couldn't be rescheduled. He wanted to give his family the world, provide for them, but it came at a cost.
I'm 19 years old, and do you know I've barely had one conversation with my dad about my mom? Like, how screwed up is that?
It doesn't sound like he made it easy on you.
Oh, he definitely didn't. Talking about my mom made him uncomfortable, but that shouldn't have stopped me from doing it. My stepmom wouldn't have cared. For a while, she was the one who'd remind me when it was my mom's birthday.
Amelia can see the anger building in him, a little pulsing vein in his neck, fire reddening his cheeks. He picks up a letter.
He knew my mom was sick when she and I came to Mead Creamery that summer before she died. I thought he didn't. I thought he found out after, and that's why he couldn't come with us.
Oh, Grady, I'm sorry.
I mean, does he regret that? Knowing his wife was sick and not being with her? Not stepping away from work?
You could talk about it with him. Tell him what you found. It might start to change things between you and your dad.
Maybe,
he says, gathering up the letters, though Amelia isn't sure he believes it. Amelia gets a text. It's Kate.
Are you working late?
No.
Then can you come down for a couple of minutes? I can give you a ride home.
On my way. Grady helps Amelia pack up the Cadillac with the ice cream, and then he drives her down to the stand. Popping open the trunk, he pauses, taking it in.
Where were those boards you said were rotting?
Amelia had forgotten about the repairs the stand needed. Things have been so crazy. Over here. She has to use the light of her cell phone to show him which ones.
And there was something else, right?
The roof tiles. A bunch of them are loose and broken. But if you do anything up there, please don't throw any away.
Huh?
You'll see.
Okay, whatever you say.
Grady's phone rings. It's his dad. He puts it to voicemail.
You sure I can't drive you home? I really don't mind.
Kate's got me tonight, but I'll see you tomorrow. He helps her carry the ice cream inside. All the girls are in the office, not just the ones on shift, all of them. They're laughing and talking, though when they see Grady, things get hushed. Thanks for the help, Amelia says.
Of course.
He looks like he wants to kiss her, and of course she would love him to. Instead, he gives her hand a quick squeeze. Amelia walks into the office.
Kate says, "Ugh, is he gone?"
Amelia's heart lurches, but she tries not to let it show. Though lots of things are changing, Grady is still their enemy.
Yeah. What's going on?
Staff meeting. Girls only.
Kate claps her hands.
Okay, girls. I know we've had quite a rocky start to this summer. The ice cream drama, Grady, and of course, Burns' unfortunate sparkler incident last night.
At this, all the girls crack up, and Burn acts indignant, but then joins in. Amelia smiles, even though she doesn't know the story.
But some big breaking news today. Amelia has taken over ice cream production.
Kate gestures to Amelia, and there's a smattering of applause.
And Kate flicks her hair off her shoulder so that the head girl pin is visible. I'll be taking over down here.
The girls gasp and rush over to Kate, examining the pin on her collar. Amelia bites the inside of her cheek.
To me, being a Mead Creamery girl has always been about hanging out and having fun with some of the coolest girls I've ever met. Yes, we busted our butts, we earned every penny in our paychecks, but we always had a blast doing it. So much so that it almost didn't feel like work at all, you know?
Kate sighs wistfully.
But that's the exact opposite of how it's felt around here this summer. In fact, I'm kind of shocked that none of you have quit yet.
A few of the girls laugh nervously, like they've been outed. Amelia forces down a swallow, though her throat and mouth are bone dry. Did it really come close to that? Girls quitting? It seems unfathomable to her. Glancing around, Amelia realizes no one will look at her, not a single girl. Maybe she is to blame, Amelia thinks, by leaving them short-staffed all those shifts, by not throwing any parties, planning any adventures. Amelia never showed up with a cool lipstick for everyone to try. She was too busy pestering them to clean.
But today's a fresh start. Kate looks over at Amelia and winks. Today, we're taking our summer back.
Amelia thinks if the fresh start Kate's promising will help hit the reset button on everyone's perception of her, then she's all for it. So when she sees her chore chart crumpled in the trash, Amelia makes herself look somewhere else. Anywhere else.
Chapter 32.
When it comes to making ice cream, Amelia is getting better, faster, more efficient. Like this morning, instead of plucking individual honeysuckle flowers, she's in the driveway using a pair of pruning shears to snip blossom-laden branches, putting those glass vases inside Molly Mead's cabinets to good use.
Amelia, can you come here for a sec?
Kate is standing half out the side stand door, waving her hands. Amelia sets down her bundle and heads to the stand. She's thinking maybe Kate has a question for her about something stand-related. She's probably diving into the things Amelia has been neglecting.
How's it going?
Terrific. Amelia looks at the tip jar. It's bursting with money.
Looks like you're killing it today.
Customers are happy again now that all the flavors are back. Kate smiles, pleased, and dumps the jar out onto the desk.
You should talk to Grady. However long he's going to have you up at the house, you're losing out on tips.
She starts smoothing out her bills.
That's true, Amelia says, though she has no intention of talking to Grady about that.
She has been happy working up at the house. On the corner of the desk, she notices a stack of papers. Newbie applications. There are maybe 50 filled out.
I put them out yesterday, Kate says, and then winks. Word travels fast.
You're hiring newbies? But summer's half over.
Yeah. How else is the legacy supposed to go on? You want Bern or Sophie to have to hire and train 5 girls next summer?
That's true. Kate peels the top application off the stack. It's been flagged with a little pink post-it.
Listen to what this girl wrote for why she wants to work here. Mostly looking to up my tolerance for ice cream headaches. Also, cash money.
Kate giggles.
You know she's going to be fun to work with.
She sounds like a young you, Amelia says.
That wouldn't be the worst thing. Double the big tip earners.
Kate shuffles some papers to the next one she's flagged.
And listen to this one. She clears her throat. I'm brand new to Sand Lake and I have no friends. I don't have a boyfriend. I'll take any shift you've got.
I've seriously got nothing else to do this summer. Kate puts down the paper. How great would this be for her? She'll meet people, she'll get to arrive at high school next year and have friends. This summer could change her life.
Amelia smiles. Kate's right. This is important. A job at Mead Creamery could completely change someone's life. Kate picks a third newbie resume out of the pile for a reason she does not share. Then she lifts the receiver of the black telephone.
Wait, I'm just wondering if maybe you shouldn't clear these with Grady first.
Kate frowns and Amelia treads lightly.
I just don't want him to raise any objections after the fact.
Kate bristles at the suggestion.
That's not how it's ever worked. The head girl makes the call, and that's me.
Okay, okay.
Kate dials her first pick. She uses a low voice to say, Kimmy Fox, you have been chosen as a Mead Creamery girl. Get ready to have the best summer of your life.
Amelia can hear giggling and screaming on the other end. As Kate phones her next girl, Amelia remembers when she got the call. It came in as her family sat down to dinner. Amelia had gotten some texts from friends who'd just heard Kate Kopernik had been hired for one of the two openings. If Kate was the kind of girl they were looking for, then Amelia knew she had no chance. But she still waited with hope during the next few minutes for her phone to ring, before slowly setting her hot dog down, nudging her dinner plate away, and lowering her forehead to the table. Her dream dashed.
I guess it was naive of us to think she wouldn't start acting like a high schooler until September, her mom said, a bite of salad hanging from her fork.
Her dad, who was turned sideways from the table so he could see the baseball game on the television in the living room, laughed. And then her phone rang.
She pushed back hard from the table, knocking her mom's lemonade over. Amelia said, "Sorry, sorry, sorry," before bolting out the back door and across the lawn to the shed. Leaning against it, she took a deep breath before answering. The girl on the other end didn't introduce herself, though Amelia knows now it was Frankie Coe. All she said was, "You're in. See you tomorrow at 11 sharp." Then the line went dead. Later that night, she got a text from Kate. Amelia still isn't sure who gave Kate her number. She was friendly with Kate, but no one would have called them friends. Kate was in the group of girls who took a limo to the 8th grade dinner dance. But they texted the entire night, all caps and exclamation marks. Even if they weren't close, they knew that by the end of that summer, they would be. That was the magic of Mead Creamery. You call the last girl? Kate says, holding out the receiver.
No, that's okay.
Amelia, come on. Don't you want to be a part of this?
She does, and it is nice of Kate to include her. Amelia takes the phone while Kate dials.
What's her name? Amelia asks, but the girl picks up before Kate can tell her.
Hello? Comes a small voice. Amelia tries to hang up the phone because she hasn't even thought about what to say, but Kate pushes her hand away, laughing.
Hello? The girl says. Amelia clears her throat and makes her voice low, but it gets stuck somewhere in her throat.
Hello? You've been hired at Mead Creamery for this summer. The girl on the other end sounds like she's going to hyperventilate. Amelia swears she can hear her smiling.
Be here tomorrow at 12:00.
Noon o'clock? Amelia looks at Kate, who busts up laughing and tries to muffle it by pressing her face into one of the love seat cushions.
Wait, is this a joke? The girl on the phone asks.
No, not a joke. See you tomorrow, Amelia says, back in her normal voice, and then quickly hangs up. Kate is still dying.
12:00. Oh my god, I suck.
The pink Cadillac pulls in as Amelia's leaving.
Grady has the trunk open and filled with lumber, the back seat with brand new tools. What's all this?
I was up early, looking at the stand. It's actually in worse shape than you thought. It's kind of a miracle this place is still standing.
What?
Don't worry, I'm going to replace all the rotting boards, seal the concrete, and try to figure out a fix for the roof that keeps those signatures in place. A Home Depot guy was talking about this water sealant I can try. And when I'm done, the stand will be good as new.
You've got time for this? With all your schoolwork and the stand stuff? That said, she understands his urgency. Grady's avoided dealing with his mother's death for too long. Fortifying the stand is a chance for him to right some of those wrongs. Grady's cell phone rings. He quickly puts the call through to voicemail, and the look on his face when he does it tells Amelia exactly who it is.
Yeah, this is important.
Later that day, Amelia makes herself a dish of ice cream and takes it out to the front stairs of Molly's house. The echo of Grady's hammer can be heard all the way up here. She opens the diary on her lap.
July 30th, 1945. It's the night before I'll be selling the ice cream at our farm stand. I've tried my best to prepare, get familiar with my new machine, which only arrived 3 days ago. Tiggy stayed so late tonight, helping me to get everything set up. She's never worked harder in her life, but she didn't complain. Not once. I love her so much. Meanwhile, every time Mother sees my ice cream machine, she frowns, and she tells everyone exactly how expensive it was. If this ice cream thing doesn't work, I told her I'll sell it. She says I'll have to, or else I'll be marrying Wayne in a Sunday dress in the fields. She says that to scare me, but if that's the worst thing that happens, I think I'll be fine.
Chapter 33 Amelia tries her best to keep Molly's Cadillac centered on the driveway as she drives down to the stand with a trunk full of ice cream, but this proves an unfortunately difficult task for someone who can barely see over the dashboard. The vehicle rocks over the lumpy dirt, an off-kilter pink tank, and every time the brush scrapes and claws like fingers against the doors, Amelia shrieks. Grady has started keeping the car keys on the table near the entryway for her, so Amelia can use it when she needs to. She is surprised at how rusty she feels behind the wheel, though she probably shouldn't be. Amelia got her license this past spring, but she hardly ever drives. She gets around fine on her bike, since her family only has one car. Plus, Kate's always around to drive them wherever they need to go. But the speed with which her heart races on these trips up and down the driveway, compared to the speedometer needle fluttering at just under 5 miles per hour, is probably a sign she should practice more. Amelia parks alongside Kate's truck, but she doesn't find Kate in the stand with the other girls. Is she here?
Yeah, Jen says, thumbing outside. She's waiting for the newbies.
Amelia walks outside to the front of the stand, and there is Kate, perched on the picnic table, her blonde hair long and catching the breeze. She's wearing makeup, eyeliner winged, a touch of pink blush, cherry red lip gloss, and her arms and legs are coated in her favorite vanilla bean lotion, the one that has a bit of sparkle mixed in. Her keds are new and spotless.
You look amazing.
Thanks. You know, I've wanted to do this, to be this girl, ever since our first summer, Kate sheepishly admits.
Do you need help with anything?
Nope, Kate says. Though if you could get Grady out of here, that'd be amazing. There are all these huge holes in the stand now. It's embarrassing. Over her shoulder, Amelia watches Grady determinedly yanking off wooden boards with a crowbar. From a distance, he looks like he knows what he's doing, but Amelia knows better. He has band-aids on every finger. When she turns back, the three newbies are approaching. One comes by bicycle, and the other two are dropped off by a grandpa type. She lingers, wanting to see Kate do her thing. Kate tosses them each a polo shirt.
Okay, girls, I know I don't have to tell you how special this place is.
Grinning, Kate leans back, resting her weight on her elbows.
But trust me that it's even more special once you're behind the counter with us. If you prove yourself worthy over the next few days, you'll never be a plain old customer again. You'll be a Mead Creamery girl, and that lasts forever.
Amelia is happy to hear Kate say it. Sometimes it feels like they don't hold Mead Creamery in the same regard. Kate goes on.
We take care of each other in here, the way sisters do. No one risks sneaking off to text their boyfriend when a school bus full of campers might pull up. No one's going to wimp out and not empty the trash cans, even if there are bees around. We may not always get along perfectly, but not one girl here would ever think of taking the last tampon out of the box in the office without dropping off a new box the next day, whether they were on the schedule or not. You know what I mean?
The three girls nod like bobbleheads.
We take pride in every aspect of this job. Every aspect. Even down to the sprinkles.
Kate wets her lips.
You newbies don't know it yet, but there's actually a fine art to getting perfect sprinkle coverage on an ice cream cone. And I'm going to show you how right now.
The three girls look awkwardly at each other.
Let's go. Chop, chop. Into the stand.
Kate, Amelia whispers. This isn't Lord of the Flies. Kate looks pleased as punch.
I always thought the head girl could up the theatrics a little bit.
Amelia is cleaning up after a batch of strawberry when she hears Grady come into the house. He washes his hands, then comes downstairs. He's a little sunburned.
How's it going out there?
He hooks his chin on her shoulder.
Good. At least I feel useful.
His phone rings. Is that your dad again?
Yeah.
You've been avoiding him for days. Is that smart?
I don't know. Probably not. But it's not like he's calling to find out how I am or anything. He wants to talk business. He went through the books and he has all these new ideas for me.
All bad ones, you think? Nothing that might be worth considering?
Good or bad, once he tells me them, they won't be optional.
You're doing a great job. There's ice cream to sell. The girls are happy. He kisses her neck.
What are you doing tonight? Let me take you out on a date.
Her eyes slowly close as she melts into him. We can't.
What if we went someplace far, like a few towns over?
Things are just getting back to normal with me and Kate. If word got back to her before I told her about us.
So tell her. Or I can tell her if you want.
I'll tell her eventually. Just not yet. Anyway, don't you have schoolwork you're neglecting?
Promise me we'll go on at least one date before the end of the season. Okay?
She nods. But what happens after that? She doesn't ask Grady, in part because she's got ice cream to make, and also because she doesn't know herself what she wants the answer to be.
Chapter 34. When the icy cloud dissipates, Amelia smiles at the wall of cardboard ice cream drums. It feels good to see the walk-in freezer filling back up. A few more days of this, Amelia thinks, and she should be able to get back on the schedule rotation, working at the stand with the rest of the girls. But life is pretty sweet right now, popping in for a little girl time at the stand when she has ice cream ready, then heading back up to the house to have lunch with Grady. On this afternoon, Amelia hangs up the ski jacket and enters the office. Kate is there, applying lipstick on the three newbies, who are squished together on the love seat, lips pouted in preparation for their turn.
Hey, Amelia! I never tried this on you.
Amelia comes over and parts her lips. Kate draws the lipstick on and gives her a tissue to blot.
Ooh, Ooh, that's a great MLBB on you.
A what?
My lips, but better. Go look.
Amelia walks over to the mirror. It looks lighter pink on Amelia, like her actual lips, which is sort of anticlimactic.
Then she sits down on the corner of the desk, watching Kate make over the newbies. Kate has already calculated the receipts for the first shift, but Amelia takes them and smooths them out and fastens them together a bit more neatly. And then Amelia looks up. Does something smell weird in here? Since no one answers her, Amelia follows her nose, searching around the office. Underneath the credenza, she finds a crusty beach towel that stinks of a million gym lockers. A few days ago, temperatures had crossed 100 degrees. Amelia came down and saw that Kate had lined her truck bed with a tarp, filled it with water, and had the girls swimming between customers. A moldy towel, a messy stack of receipts, and a schedule that never goes up on time. She takes a deep breath, reminding herself that she needs to be okay with these trade-offs. The other girls wouldn't ever complain about these things. Though she probably could stay and hang out a while, Amelia tells Kate she needs to head back up to the farmhouse. Better that, she decides, than let these little things bother her. After throwing the towel in the dumpster, Amelia drives back up to the farmhouse in her lipstick, excited to show Grady. She's never wearing makeup around him, never in normal clothes. It would be nice to go on a date with him. There's a miniature golf course 20 minutes away. Sure, Grady plays golf, he's got his own clubs, but Amelia has never missed a putt through the spinning blades of the windmill. She thinks she can probably take him. She's slipping inside the house when she hears Grady in the midst of a heated argument in the living room. He's so focused, he doesn't even look up. Her stomach sinks with every step down to the basement. Could Grady's dad have figured out they went to the beach house? A few minutes later, Grady comes down hot. That didn't sound like it went well, she says gently.
Yeah, my dad's not happy with our bottom line. The stand makes a decent profit, but a lot of the revenue gets turned back over into the business. Cost of ingredients, payroll. So he's been talking to his buddy Rod, who works in restaurants, and...
Grady shakes his head.
I don't even want to tell you.
What?
My dad thinks we should stop making homemade ice cream and start serving, like, Hershey's or whatever. Something we can buy in bulk from a distributor.
What? That's crazy. The ice cream is what makes Mead Creamery special.
I know.
Amelia shakes her head, resolute. No, Grady, you can't. Absolutely not.
Molly Mead would roll over in her grave. This is ultimately your stand, Grady. If you don't want to take his advice, you don't have to.
That's what I tried to tell him. And then we kind of got into a big fight.
How big?
Huge.
He drops onto the couch and stares at the ceiling.
I used to look up to my dad so much. I'd do anything to please him. But now I'm scared that I'm going to turn into him.
He swallows and then turns his head to look at Amelia.
I actually said that to him.
Amelia's eyes go wide. What did he say?
Nothing. He hung up on me.
Amelia can't get it off her mind for the rest of the day. The idea that Grady's dad would erase the best thing about Mead Creamery to make a few extra dollars. Thank God Grady drew a line in the sand. But she's no fool. She knows Grady's dad has the power here. Grady's Truman tuition is hanging in the balance. Would Grady's dad really sacrifice his son's future to make a point? Or maybe he secretly wants Mead Creamery to go out of business for the same reason his son wants to keep it open. Grady's mother. Chapter 35.
The next time Kate does the schedule, she gives herself and Amelia the same day off. "Now don't you think newbies were a good idea?" she says, knocking into her. "Yes." The plan is to go shopping at the